Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Mr. Candle speaking. I'm sitting here on the bedside table of children all over the world. The children are telling me the stories of their adventures during the day, of their wonderment and of their questions and of their dreams and their aspirations, of all the things that make life exciting for them. I was talking to a group of little children. They all lived in one house, and the house was an orphanage. It was a place where children whose parents are no longer with them and is where the children will go. And this orphanage was in Texas. And it was quite a nice orphanage. Big building. Rooms for different age children. And as I walked into this one room, the children were all gathered around having a heavy, deep discussion. And I said, "Laurelee, what's all this discussion about?" And Laurelee knew that Mr. Candle could speak to her, and she saw me glowing on the candlestick holder on her bedside table. And she says, "Mr. Candle, maybe you've got the answer for us." And I said, "Well, Laurelee, what's your question?" And he said, Fred was listening with all his ears, and he said, "Mr. Candle, I would like to know the answer to this question. Why did I choose my family?" Well, how about that? You want to know why you chose your family? "Yes," Joseph said. "Why did I choose my family?" And Mary said, "Yes, and why did I choose my family? And you know, Mr. Candle, all of our families are gone now. And here we are, all by ourselves in this orphanage. We're children from all different homes, from all different parents. And why did we choose the family we had and then to have to lose them? Here we are, all living in this orphanage and not having any of our parents. None of them are living, none of them are around, and we wonder where they are. Oh, some kids know where they are, but most of them don't. And most of them never will find their parents because their parents just are not available. For whatever reason, they might have died, they might have been lost, who knows. But Mr. Candle, why did I choose my family, a family in which I was only going to be a short time, and then go away from my family and live here in the orphanage? Why did I do that, Mr. Candle?" Well, I tell you, Henry, the answer to that question lies within you. "Me? Why within me?" Well, Henry, you know why you chose your family. Well, why is that? Well, you chose your family so that you could have the best genes and chromosomes, you could have the best DNA, you could have the best parents, you could have the best family than anybody in the world, and get out on your own and really do something outstanding. "Yeah, but I don't have them anymore." Well, they gave you the start. They gave you the start, Joseph, and then they went away. But why did they have to go? Well, that's a question that none of us can answer. But all we can say is, what did they give you? Why did you have the family you had? Why were you born of the parents you were born? And why were you given this opportunity to take what knowledge, wisdom, and genius you had from those parents and apply it somewhere? Well, Mr. Cannell, tell us the answer. That's a very good question. You answered a very good question, which is just the question we're asking too. What is it, Mr. Cannell? Well, we all have our own answer for that. But, Lucy, what do you like to do?
I like to draw.
Is that right? What do you like to draw, Lucy?
I like to draw horses and cows. And I like to draw dogs and cats, and I like to draw animals.
Well, why do you like to draw animals, Lucy?
Well, there's just something inside of me that says, draw them.
Are you any good, Lucy?
Well, look, Mr. Candle, see for yourself.
My, Lucy, those are beautiful.
Those are very beautiful. You have the gait of the horse so lovely. You have the color of the horse. You have everything so nice. How did you learn to do that, Lucy? Oh, I just knew. I just knew. I wanted to draw, and I draw, and I drew, and I did it. Well, Lucy, that is excellent. You see, those were the gifts that your parents had given to you. The gift of being an artist, the gift of drawing, the gift of respecting the animals, the gift of loving all of nature, and then being able to put it down on paper, to be able to paint it, to color it, to draw it. That's quite nice. Penelope, what do you like to do? Well, I don't have any talents, Penelope. Don't tell me you don't have any talents. What do you like to do, Penelope? Well, you laugh. No, I won't. I like to yodel. Penelope, you like to yodel? Well, Penelope, will you yodel for us? Sure. Yodel, yodel. Penelope, that was glorious. Where did you learn how to yodel? Oh, I don't know, just something inside of me said yodel. Well, Penelope, do you think that your parents might have been Swiss? They might have come from the Alpine country where they learned to yodel and they would call to one another with yodels across the mountains? Oh, is that how it works, Mr. Candle? Well, that's partly how it works. Do you think that might have been the case? Well, something was the case, because I love to yodel, and I'm good at it. You know, I know. How do you know you're good? Have you heard anybody else ever yodel? No. You want to hear someone yodel? Sure. Well, you just tell the ladies here who run the orphanage that you'd like to talk to somebody who yodels, and you'd like to learn more about yodeling. And ask them if they will get a hold of someone who likes to yodel, maybe the Yodeling Society, and see what they have to say. Oh, Mr. Candle, that's such a wonderful idea. Oh, hey, that's a wonderful idea. I'm going to do that. And now, Stanislaus, what do you like to do? Well, I like to just do things that make me money. Oh, you're a businessman, huh? Well, yeah, I like to make me money. And how do you do that? Well, I take things that I find, and I keep them, and I have a little storehouse of them. And then when anybody comes around and says they need something, and I happen to have something that they need, I'll say to them, well, what do you got to trade for it? And I'm a great trader. People trade things with me all over the place. I get all sorts of things, from marbles to yo-yos to to skates and, oh, everything, Mr. Cattle. Well, for goodness sake, don't these things belong to other people? Well, they did, perhaps, but nobody claimed it, and so I asked, does this belong to anybody? And nobody said it belonged to them, so then I took it along. Well, if nobody cares, I guess that's all right. But, you know, Stanislaus, sounds like you've got the makings of a wonderful businessman. You have see, in the early days, before they had money, they traded everything. Everything was barter. And they bought things. What does barter mean, Mr. Candle? Barter means to trade. If you have a car, and I have a horse, and you want a horse rather than a car, we trade. But the car is worth more than the horse. Well, it all depends. A good horse can be worth $1,000, $2,000, and a good car can be worth $1,000, $2,000 or more. It depends. It all depends on what you got. Ah, yes, that's true. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, now, where do you think you got the desire to be a businessman, a merchant, a businessman of great ability like you are, trading and dealing with merchandise like that? Where do you think you learned it? Well, I don't know, Mr. Candle. It just came by natural. Well, you see, we do have things we come by natural, but sometimes the blessings of our parents are carried out through us in the genius that we have. Many times, children who are born of very wise and very brilliant people become very wise and very brilliant themselves if they can let go of their parents. But so often, wise and brilliant children do not want to do things in front of their parents because they don't want to show their parents up, or they don't want to show off in front of their parents. And they don't want to have their parents say, well, that's, you're not ready yet, you're stupid. And but you see, Mr. Kendall, I don't have anyone telling me that I'm stupid or I don't know any better, because they just say, oh, you're doing that? Well, great, go for it. That's good, because I'm not in competition with them. Why, that's great, Stanislaus. That's a really a wonderful thing to be aware of, and you are certainly on top of it. I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of you. In fact, I'm very proud of all of you, because all of you are taking the genius, the intelligence, the wisdom, the gene structure, you might say, of your parents and making it something wonderful for you. You wonder why you chose a family? Because the family you chose are the ones who are giving you the insight, whether it's presence or whether it's through their physical structure, of doing the things that you like to do, you can do, you want to do, and you are doing. It's a magical, wonderful way to live, to really see that we have within us the ability to do these things, and we don't know where it came from. We had no idea that our parents were the geniuses because we didn't know them. They left our life while we were still quite young, and we didn't have a chance to realize what kind of parents they were, or what kind of life they had, and what kind of intelligence that they were bequeathing to us through our gene structure and through our DNA and through our intelligence structure. Oh, Mr. Kendall, I think this is really so exciting. This is so wonderful. You know, Mr. Kendall, you made my life now worthwhile. What do you mean? Well, every time I do my drawings, I'm going to think of my mommy and daddy and how much of a genius they were in drawing, and that they gave me this gift of drawing. And it's so wonderful. I now have my mother and my father. I now have my family. I know where I came from. I know who I am. Is that right? Well, boys and girls, this is true for everybody. Whether you know your parents, you live with them, or whether you don't live with them, the genius that they are, the DNA, the gene structure, all of the intelligence that they are, comes down to you, their children, and you carry it out however you wish. And sometimes living at home can be a disadvantage, and most of the time it can be an advantage. But for those of you who do not have your parents, you have one of the greatest blessings in the world. And that's the gift that your parents gave you, inside of you, to help you to be the magical genius that you are, because that's what they were. Use that as you wish, and you'll find it's lots of fun. Just talk to different friends of yours and say, what is your favorite thing? What do you like to do? What's your talent? And when you do that, you'll get an idea of what their parents are like, even though they never knew them, and you might never know them. Oh, Mr. Kendall, that sounds so wonderful. It is, boys and girls. Hey, do you see who's coming through that door there? That's Mr. Sandman. He's got his bag of pixie dust, and he's going to sprinkle it all over you, and he's going to give you happy dreams of all the wonderful genes and chromosomes and DNA that your parents had left you, and all the magic that they have given you to go out and live your life in the most beautiful, revealed way that you could ever imagine. So, boys and girls, call yourselves to your bed and say, Mommy, Daddy, I am holding you in my heart. I'm holding you in my love. I'm holding you in my being, because I can close my eyes and see you there. And I say now, good night. I love you. I love you. I love you. And boys and girls, this is Mr. Kendall. Until I come next time, saying to you, I love you. I love you. I love you.